This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. You know, today has been a very long day for one of us, and that one of us is Billy. Do you want to tell us what you've been doing all day?
I also had a long day. I was up at 3 a.m.
3 a.m.? Why?
Yeah, because I had to do a radio tour to promote Unraveled, and it's on East Coast time, so I had to I know.
Oh my God, you did it without Billy?
Yeah. You did it without me? I didn't know about that.
Uh-oh.
You're not always, would you have been available today?
At 8:30? No, at 3 a.m.? No. No, because what I was doing was I was recording my new book as an audiobook, talking 8 hours in a tiny room, which is incredibly stressful.
Yes.
To one kid who, and they're great. One kid actually knew what the book was about because he read the book, and he's the guy that says, no, you pronounced that wrong, or no, read that again because I messed it up. And then there's the engineer who has no idea what this book is about. So he doesn't know what's coming in. And then I'm talking about murdered sex workers and opioid addiction and all of this. And he's just like, what the hell have I gotten myself into?
Oh, wow.
And they were nice enough. We did it on Sunday, did it today. I'm two-thirds of the way through. I've got one more day. And it's going to be like a load off my back, and I'm really excited about it. But it sounds really good, though.
You're almost there. And we were talking about before we started recording that reading an audiobook might be one of the most exhausting things that one could do. It is mind-numbing.
Do you remember when you were in class in like third grade or fourth grade, and everybody was reading out of the textbook? Mm-hmm. And then the person would read, and then the next person would read, and then they would go up and down the row, and you'd be waiting for your section. And you kind of knew what your section was, and you didn't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
Imagine that over and over and over again for 8 hours straight. That's what it feels like.
I have that enough when we record when we do our regular podcasts, and I'm like, yeah. Oh no, okay, I got to say this line this way. I know I'm going to fuck up and mispronounce this word, and then I do 100 times in a row. Like, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that you're like, mm-hmm. I got to do this good, and then you like fuck it up.
Yes.
Dude, well, you're almost there. And Alexis, I can't believe you woke up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, 3 a.m.
I know. It was
Thank you, Alexis, for that.
It was just, trust me, if it was TV, I know Billy would have been there. It was radio. It was radio. That's why I was like, Billy's not going to be mad if I do this without
him. Hey, I would do radio. Was it Howard Stern?
No.
Do you think it was Howard Stern?
Well, I'm so glad that both of you guys are so committed to this podcast that, you know, you're showing up without sleep, working all day, like doing the whole thing. We got to get Killing Times out on time. So yeah. Thanks.
It means more. People seem to like it more than the original podcast. So we got to show up to make it happen.
Got to give
this
the
is
people.
Going to be what one day, if you tell all of your friends, one day this will be our full-time job, and that will be the fun part. That's when the fun starts.
Yes.
So if you don't get your, you know, next time you're around the family table and say, Mom, I know you don't like true crime, but you better listen to this podcast over and over and over again.
And by the way, Mom, join our Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
And Mom's on the Patreon too. Okay.
Mom's got that expendable income sometimes.
Yeah, and Moms want to hear Billy bare his soul in this week's Patreon. True Story on Billy.
That's this week.
That's right.
It's out. You guys can listen to it. Billy gets vulnerable. It's really sweet. And if you are an All Access member of the Patreon, you get a video, not just audio. You get video.
You get to see us in real time. The real deal.
Crap.
Well, that's the sincere us. You'll see what you see is photos of us on Instagram, and it's not real. You'll see us how we really look when we record. So, yeah. Get ready for the truth.
Not the best. Okay. Well, what day is it today, Billy?
All right. Today is April 28th. And on April 20th of 2020, this is our dark day, the Department of Defense released three videos, one from 2004 and two from 2015, of Navy pilots who saw flying objects that they had no idea what they were, otherwise known as UFOs.
Yes.
And in one of the videos, you hear a pilot saying, "There's a whole fleet of them. My gosh, they're all going against the wind. The wind is 120 knots to the west. Look at that thing, dude."
I love how he said dude.
So he was the U.S. Navy previously acknowledged that these videos circulating in the public domain were indeed Navy videos. And this is from the press release. After a thorough review, the department has determined that the authorized release of these unclassified videos does not reveal any sensitive capabilities or systems, or does not impinge on any subsequent investigations of military airspace incursions by unidentified aerial phenomena. So what they were trying to say is that if somebody was attacking us or something like, it's not showing anything about
a threat,
nothing that could make our instruments vulnerable or our weapons vulnerable. But then they said the aerial phenomena observed in the videos remain characterized as unidentified.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, the first thing you think is, we're not alone. Yeah. The second thing you think is, Tom DeLonge, the guitarist for Blink-182, was right.
I know.
And that was the great thing.
I know. Well, I don't know if I've talked about this before on this podcast, but there's this whole documentary about all of these very reputable, like, people that were in the Navy, the Army, like really high up politicians that all came together and were like, we're going to share our stories about these UFOs that we've seen or these documents that we have been a part of, whatever. And then they all tell their stories and they're like, there's one man that brought us together. And it was Tom DeLonge.
And it's Tom DeLonge.
God damn it.
I love that.
You're like, why? You were right this whole time.
I love it.
Because he was like a little bit of a wackadoodle when he was first going about it. Like, he was a little, like, you know, everybody's
out there.
It was out there.
I mean, the guy that's saying, where are you? And I'm so sorry.
That's right.
He said, here's what he said. He said, I knew it was coming. It's funny. When I got into this, people were making fun of me. He quit his band to chase aliens. He's lost his mind. Tinfoil hat. Fuck this guy. He's crazy. And then they all started to find out it's true.
Oh my God.
He also quit his band to do another band.
Yeah.
Well, Angels and Airwaves, yeah.
And then also because him and Mark Hoppus were having like huge issues with each other. But, you know, I'm glad that he's doing God's work. Well, not God's work. I guess he's doing the UFO's work.
Also,
and
Angels and Airwaves sounds like it's about aliens.
Oh, no.
Angels and Airwaves sounds like a euphemism for aliens.
No, yeah. The sonics that they use, I definitely think that he thinks that he might be talking to aliens while, like, through some of those songs.
But angels are in the sky, and airwaves are, like, I feel like it's like a simile.
Yeah.
A metaphor for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Right?
So we're going to be talking about UFO conspiracy theories in True Crime Rewind, including one of the best things that ever happened on television in 1995.
Whoa.
I can't wait. But before we want to get to anything, though, we need to go True Crime in real time. There is a trial. I don't think a lot of people have been talking about it. It's not really that big on social media.
No.
There is an actor named Johnny Depp who is suing his ex, Amber Heard, I believe her name is, over defamation.
And she's countersuing for $100 million. He sued originally for $50 million. She's countersuing for $100 million.
What is she countersuing for?
For
defamation too?
Yeah, just damage to her career because he's like denying these things and all this stuff that he's doing. He's lost two lawsuits related to defamation connected to Amber Heard in recent times in the UK, and it's the most fascinating. Everyone's gonna like think I'm the most basic bitch for feeling this way. But I've been following it pretty closely because I'm just like amazed by what people this rich
do.
Yes. Like the videos they secretly capture and the secret recordings and the hypothetical cheating scandal that she's maybe alleged involved in with Elon Musk and James Franco. I'm like, this is Love Island with like billionaires. And it's crazy to watch.
I just love it because it's like literally airing the dirtiest of the dirty laundry just for everyone to see. And it's incredible.
Yeah.
And then you get to see, you get, well, sorry. My question is, why do they have video and it's like you can watch the trial basically in real time? Why that trial and not other trials? Is it because of what it is or where it is or who it is?
It just depends. So initially when a trial is impending, if you don't want cameras in a trial, one of the attorneys on either side has to file a motion to ban or bar cameras from the trial. If no one's done that in this case, it's because they want to fuck with each other.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me is that Johnny Depp says, like, I want to sell my side. I'm doing this to save my career. But this is so much worse. This is so much worse than it was. Like,
All right, wait. First of all, Jack, you said dirty laundry. You stepped all over a great opportunity to talk about what happened to Johnny Depp's bed.
Oh, no, yes. No, I'm not talking about that because we're not.
No, but we're not I'm just saying about that. Wait, I know, why? But I'm just saying with that.
That's the best part of the whole trial.
It's one of the best parts of the whole trial.
Riveted. Can't wait to see if Elon Musk testifies. Fingers crossed. It's just going to get better.
Well, Elon Musk is now going to be in charge of Twitter. So
I think they're subpoenaing him and James Franco. And I'm like, please.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. Please.
Well, did you see the video released of Elon Musk and her embracing in an elevator?
No.
And they're alleging that they had an affair?
But then they dated, didn't they?
I don't know. I don't know the timeline.
Oh, I thought that they dated for like a long time. I don't know much about Amber Heard's dating history. Like, I'm seeing this in snippets on TikTok, so I'm not sure, but I thought that her and Elon Musk dated.
And this is the problem with America. I'm seeing this
TikTok
in snippets
is our news.
On TikTok, and I'm in front of a microphone talking about stuff.
To be fair, I don't really give a fuck. So
exactly. And I understand, Jack. But I will say this, my favorite thing is when Johnny Depp, the camera is on him, and they're asking about Amber Heard and whether she liked to be at his house or not. And she was saying she didn't like it because it was a bunch of old guys playing guitars.
And his face.
He's chewing gum and he just smiles.
Wait, what did he say? I didn't hear.
He doesn't say anything.
No, no, he doesn't say anything.
He said the old guys with guitars. I didn't hear it because you... Okay.
No, yeah, they asked somebody who knew her, what did she say about being over his house? She said it was boring because all it was old guys coming over and playing guitars.
That's right.
And Johnny Depp is just chewing his gum really just getting down on his gum and just gives this sort of like smile that just like, yep, that's my life.
That was the funniest thing because it's like he's probably having his like rock star friends over to like jam, and she's like, it's a bunch of ugly old guys like playing guitar. It's like, oh my God,
how many fucking jam out sessions by a bonfire can you really stand per week? In her defense,
listen, if Slash is over, I'm gonna be all about it.
Yep, totally. It's just funny, the whole thing. I just love seeing their face reactions, and everything that they're making on TikTok is. Yes. A-plus content.
Yeah, no,
I got to say is thank God there's no children involved. That's it.
Oh, I know. God. Oof. I know. Oof. Thank goodness.
That would be bad. Okay, well, I feel like that is the biggest thing probably happening this week in real time. So right now we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, idea to the stand, and we're either prosecuting it or defending it, and then we vote if it's guilty or not guilty, take it to Instagram, blah, 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 you know the deal. Who wants to go first?
Billy, do you want to go first?
Yes, I do.
All right,
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this Saturday, I went to an estate sale, and it was an estate sale of someone who was incredibly popular. He's a legend in the industry, the broadcast industry. It was Alex Trebek.
I saw this on TikTok.
I want to, yes, on our TikTok. I waited in line for about an hour and met some nice people in line, or online, as we say, in New York.
On Long Island. And everyone always corrects me. I'm like, no, it's you're on a line.
yeah. So
on the line? I've never heard that.
Yeah, we say online in New York, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. So when I'm walking around there, I was thinking about the idea of the estate sale and the idea of that. And Alex Trebek died pretty recently, too.
Yeah.
And we're going through all of his stuff. And obviously, his family said, yes, let's do this.
Well, his family took everything expensive and important and sentimental.
His family took everything that they wanted. It's not like we're going through and being like, yes. But the idea, what I want to put on the stand, and I'm actually for it, but I want to put on the stand the idea of an estate sale and whether you think it's a little bit too macabre.
It is kind of weird, especially if you're like such a public figure, I guess. Like, you don't know the type of people that are going to be coming in there that might be big fucking weirdos that just want to have like a piece of your loved one. I think that there is like definitely a sense of like risk in that way, but like, what else are you going to do with all the stuff? If you took all the important stuff and all the sentimental stuff, then it's like, I guess you either donate it or throw it in the trash. What kind of stuff is there?
I don't know. Alexis, what do you think?
I've been to a few estate sales, and I just think it's practical. I really do. It's like Jack was saying, what do you throw it away? Like, what does it just sit there? I mean, the family, it's a painful thing to clean out your loved one's home. And it's like, look at it from the practical sense. He's a beloved TV star. People loved Jeopardy. You know, I think it's all about perspective. And I think, like, when you're beloved and people want to piece your loved one, isn't that okay? You know, it's like, isn't that like flattering? And also, it's painful to go through your loved one's things yourself and throw them away. So I think it just rips, you kill a couple birds with one stone. And, you know, it's, death is so sad. Like, there's an impossible, it's impossible to know how to handle it.
What kind of stuff was at the estate sale, Billy?
I mean, I will say that the house was amazing. It was very labyrinthian. You know, there was like little, you know, you walk in, there's a giant sort of cathedral type ceiling with a dome in it. He had this great movie theater in the back with a great bar, but a lot of like little rooms here or there. What I bought were his pruning shears, like his gardening shears.
Because I was perplexed by that. You don't garden, Billy.
I still have to clip some stuff in my yard.
You have a gardener. You
know? How much were his gardening shears?
$15.
Oh, okay.
Cheaper than I would have gotten at Home Depot. And they were sharp and they worked.
Is that
I also bought some books. I always buy books. Like he had a book of Al Michaels, who's another broadcasting legend. So I thought, oh, that's kind of cool to get Alex Trebek's book about Al Michaels. And, you know, just walking through there and watching, you know, it's a very odd scene. And you're watching people like walking around with other with that person's stuff as they're walking around and looking at stuff. And then you start thinking about what it's going to be like in 50 years when people don't have stuff, when everything is NFTs or everything is on a hard drive, not even on a hard drive. Everything is in the cloud.
People will always have stuff.
But not, I get to your point where it's like people aren't going to have books, people aren't going to have records, people aren't going to have like a lot of the things that you like tie a personal connection to in that sense, I guess. But yeah, people always have stuff.
I think people always have books. I mean, I still won't do audiobooks. I still don't do Kindles. I still do books.
Yeah,
and, I think it'll be cooler and cooler to have tangible items as people, as they disappear. Like, I don't think it'll ever go away.
Marie Kondo woman has anything to say with it.
Billy, you could take some notes from her, by the way.
Oh, really? Oh, I could?
Yeah. You have too much shit at your house.
You have
his house
idea
is big.
How
he
much
can,
shit I
he
have
can
in
fill
my
it
house.
Up with a bunch of shit.
Yeah, but you don't wanna.
No.
But you do. You love trinkets and tchotchkes and shit.
Yeah, but I feel like Billy does assign meaning to all of his tchotchkes.
I think if somebody walked through my house after I died and they were walking through all of this stuff, they would get a sense of what I was like what I was into.
Yeah.
Like he's into, he's got a bunch of like books about murder, but he also has a bunch of Star Wars glasses from McDonald's. You know?
Yeah, you're a collectible type of a guy.
Yeah.
Also junk.
You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
No, some of it's cool, some of it's junk.
Ain't that the truth? All right. So,
Jack,
you want to go next?
Well, we're going to.
I'm going to say not guilty. I still love it.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
You got to do it. You got to do something with that shit.
Totally.
Okay, I'll go next. On the stand for me today is the concept of having a joint Facebook account with your partner.
Interesting.
I think it's fucking weird. I've always thought it was weird. And I think there's like a couple reasons why this would probably be happening.
Yeah.
One is something happened and the trust is broken and you don't trust your partner with a social media account. So now you're going to share a social media account to see the ongoings of like what is going on in the relationship to make sure there's no private messages being exchanged or whatever. Another one is, I guess, like one of the people use social media and then the other one doesn't. And then to that account, it's like, why are you doing that to begin with at all? Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. So I'm like, neither of those seem like you really need one. And I think it's very bizarre because the concept of having social media is like for the one. And it just feels wrong.
Well, the one other, I'm just being devil's advocate, the one other reason I could see is to avoid any issues. Like if you're a married couple and you've been married for 30 years and Facebook was invented when you were married, it's like, we don't need two faces. Yes. We have a merged life that is so intertwined that like, let's not create a problem where there is none.
I see that for like an older generation.
A couple that's been married for 10 years, 15 years when that shit already came out.
Yeah. But like somebody that's our age.
Agree.
That have definitely had separate Facebook accounts and now they have to join.
Oh, then something's wrong. If you always had one, I think, okay, that was just a thing you agreed on in advance because you're like, that's a great idea for avoiding the drums.
It's like a boomer thing.
That's right. Mm. But if you had two and it is now one, that's not great.
Yeah, I just think it's weird. And then you don't really feel like you're really connecting with that person, you know? It's like a group. It's like you're posting in a Facebook group.
Yeah,
I think it's funny that two millennials are actually talking about Facebook in 2022.
I still love Facebook.
Well, you know what? There are, because nobody really has joint Instagram accounts. I actually know one person that does have a joint Instagram account, and I think it's fucking weird. But it's mostly like
But Facebook has turned into, you don't use really Facebook the way you used it 10 years ago or 15 years ago. You use it for groups.
Groups.
Yeah.
That's it. And we love our Facebook group, by the way.
And no platform has done it better. Like the groups.
Yeah, no, it's still, yep.
Yeah.
It's weird that nobody's come out with like an app that just does groups. It seems like the easiest thing to do. All it is
getting enough people there in the first place. At least
The people are already there and now they've just morphed into that. So
yeah.
I will say though, I do know a couple people that do have the joint accounts. It is strange.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought you were going to defend it.
I'm going to say guilty. They're two. They're my friends from like my Manchester City football friends. They're a married couple. They're gorgeous. And they're both, and you'd never know who you're talking to.
That's what I'm saying.
You have no idea.
And
it's weird. And then you just stop talking.
And you know what?
And you see it. Yeah.
No, if somebody, and one of those people in that joint Facebook group, they have a secret fucking Facebook or they have a secret Finsta or they have something that they're going around and lurking around on their own so they can get their algorithm with like booby pics or something like that. With that they wanted to see in the beginning.
In the first place.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm saying guilty.
Guilty.
Yeah, I'll go with guilty.
All right, Lex.
All right. So what I'm putting on the stand today, and I want to give a caveat. I'll say the caveat after I've said what it is.
Okay.
Honestly, like if we're looking at all the waterfowl that there is, geese. I'm putting geese on the stand. And like,
waterfowl.
And I don't want to hear from the animal rights people. I don't want to hurt geese. I'm just saying, if you're picking the one that sucks the most out of the ducks and the swans and the storks and the pelicans and the seagulls, like the waterfowl, waterfowl, I'm going to go with geese are the worst.
Well, geese are going to be the ones that are going to attack you.
They hiss. They mean mug you. They'll run after you. God, I was watching a TikTok the other day and it was like this goose.
Oh, yeah.
Attacking anyone going near like this one car because there was probably an egg on this medium and no one knew about it. And it's attacking people. People are dropping their Starbucks everywhere. People are screaming, running away. I'm like, you've ruined this poor woman's day. And I've never seen a duckling do this. This is a goose. It's exclusively a goose, misfortune.
Do you know how funny this is? Because I know you both don't read the reviews.
Oh, no.
And I was going to bring up this review because on Tuesday, somebody wrote a review saying that they don't like the repeated use of foul language. And they spelled it
like foul, waterfowl. That's amazing. Hysterical.
Yes.
Yeah, no,
applicable.
Goose language offends me also, listeners.
Yes. Yes. So, we are.
Thank
we
you.
Are
we're aligned. We're aligned with what your complaint is, us too. And I just think, like, I saw some the geese at the cemetery where I go running. They're all human geese because so many people are around.
Yeah.
But a rogue goose, everyone stay the fuck away because that goose. If it's away from the herd, it was probably ostracized for its cruelty. And honestly, like, anything could happen if you walk by it.
Yeah. No, geese are vicious. They're scary. My mom got attacked by a goose once.
No.
Yeah.
What happened?
We were like in a park and the geese was running after
her. That's not good. Don't like that.
It's terrifying. They're like big birds. Imagine this big, fluffy, feathery body coming at you angry.
Okay.
Birds are scary. Geese. I don't want them attacking me.
Geese are guilty.
Guilty.
I'm going to say not guilty.
Why?
Because they were here before us.
No. How do you know?
I don't know.
Because they're descendants of dinosaurs.
You just don't know the evolution of the...
Because there's going to be more geese where, you know, you mentioned the place that you run, which is my forever home after I die. And
he's right by the geese, guys. They're going to be weird.
Right by the
he's right by where the geese
sitting on your gravestone.
So the geese might be listening to this, and I'm going to say, geese, I'm all about you.
No, okay.
They've already cursed you, like, because they hate humans. And
No, they love me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm the only person that's stuck up for geese on a podcast in 2022.
You're not wrong.
Shout out, geese.
I can't imagine a single person liking geese.
To be clear, I don't want them to be hurt. No. It's just the worst of the birds with webbed feet.
Yes. Okay. I agree.
You know,
guilty,
majority rule. Sorry, Belly.
All right. Well, when we come back, it is time for some true crime rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways, and with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences, and before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Welcome back, everybody, for True Crime Rewind. We are going UFO conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go to Roswell, 1947. So, in Corona, New Mexico, there was a recovery of a balloon debris near a ranch. Now, decades later, there were conspiracy theories claiming that the debris involved a flying saucer. It was covered up by the United States government. On July 8th, 1947, the Roswell Army Airfield issued a press release stating that a flying disc had been recovered. But then they immediately retracted it and said, hey, no. It was a weather balloon. But that didn't stop. You know, once it's out there, it's kind of funny, too, because it's like, this is before the internet, but still, it was out there.
It was
and
viral.
It's still out there. Yes, it went viral even then.
It went like real viral.
Yeah.
Like the most powerful kind of viral where you don't even need the internet for everyone to find out.
I know. How does that even get around? Word of mouth?
Well, listen, I mean, listen, if you're dealing with UFOs, that's going to be it. You know, it's just like, hey, somebody crash landed. So in 1994, the United States Air Force published a report identifying the object as a surveillance balloon from Project Mogul. And, you know, the stories of these alien bodies probably stemmed potentially from test dummies being dropped from high altitude.
Totally.
So these are the stories going
allegedly
on. So everybody talks about Roswell.
Who's dumping a test dummy from that?
Sometimes you got to see like.
Didn't they make a WB show about Roswell? I think it was called Roswell.
Yes, there was a WB show called Roswell. I believe that they were aliens. I believe they lived off of Tabasco sauce. Like they love drinking Tabasco sauce and they could listen to CDs just by holding them up to their ears.
That sounds like a friend, Anna. She loves Tabasco and shit.
That's just too random. Like what are the,
that's the only
so
things
bizarre
I remember of that.
Dude, E.T.
the only things
E.T.
I remember of that. Yeah,
E.T. liked M&M's. Like gotta pick something.
I loved E.T.
E.T. liked Reese's Pieces.
That's what I mean. Whatever.
All right. So what I want to talk about though is 1995 on Fox, the show Alien Autopsy.
Oh.
Now.
Oh, I vaguely remember this.
Now, this was a show. Now, there was a guy, a British guy named Ray Santilli, who sold this show to Fox. He said he had a 17-minute black and white film that supposedly depicted an autopsy of an alien by the United States military. So Fox...
Did they buy this sight unseen? They're like, yeah, this sounds good. Let's just air it.
So Fox buys it in 1995.
They could sell anything.
And they, under the title, they publish it or they release it as Alien Autopsy, Fact or Fiction. So they've got themselves covered.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's hosted by Jonathan Frakes, who plays Riker from Star Trek.
Oh.
And this was actually so big that Time magazine declared the film had sparked a debate with an intensity not lavished on any home movie since the Zapruder film. Now, the Zapruder film, you know, is from the Zapruder film. That's from the JFK.
What word are you saying? Can you be slower when you say it?
The Zapruder film.
Is that a Z? Zapruder?
Zapruder film, yes.
Okay, sorry.
It's probably the most famous film in the history of true crime.
Clearly, everyone knows about it, especially other people who work in true crime. It's, everyone knows it's so famous.
It's the
I didn't even know video, what word you were saying.
It's the video of JFK being assassinated.
Why is it called Zapruder?
Because Abraham Zapruder was the guy who was filming it.
Too difficult.
Yes. Okay, so you didn't have the internet back then to clap back at this. Yes, I know people might say the internet was back then, but nobody was really on the internet, right?
Not
this
in Reddit.
This thing got 12 million viewers, like a 14% share. Like 14% of the people that were watching TV at the time, watched this thing.
Oh my
and
God.
Watched this alien. And when you watch it, Google it, please. It's you know what? The broadcast version actually had to pixelize some of it because it was graphic in nature. It's so weird.
I love it. And I'm so jealous it wasn't me. Like, I love if you can con every, like, it's, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. You know, because most shit you see on TV is a con, but they did it better and they did it first. And like, I think that's good on them. I'm jealous it wasn't me.
Also, I Googled it and it takes you to the Wikipedia, and the cover for this is the fucking, it looks like so like hoaxy. It's like bright neon green alien autopsy in this like bleeding red font. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
It's like gore kind of branding. Like,
it just looks like a Goosebumps book.
Like Stranger Things.
It looks
vibes.
Like a Goosebumps book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, in order to make the film authentic, or the Fox program authentic, they interviewed like a special effects makeup artist, Stan Winston, who is a legend. But they also interviewed Cyril Wecht, who is a forensic pathologist, who me and Alexis are actually going to see at CrimeCon this week. Now, he actually said he considered the autopsy procedures to be authentic, but he stopped short of declaring the being an alien. This is what it says on Wikipedia. Now, in 2006, the British guy, Ray Santilli, said, you know what? Okay, the film was actually a reconstruction. It happened. This autopsy happened, but it was a reconstruction. And a few frames from the original 22 rolls of film were included in there, but most of it was a reconstruction.
How does he know?
Because he's the one that knows the chain of evidence, because he's the one that sold it to Fox.
Oh, this is the guy that made the movie.
This is the guy that made it and sent it to
so
Fox.
So then was he putting those films in as like subliminal messaging, like just like a one frame at a time?
Was just saying that like, no, there was a few frames that were real, but then like the most of it, the film was compromised and we had to reconstruct it. But this is really what happened.
Mm. Needless to say, excellent,
you know,
con.
What? Watch for yourself and see.
I'm going to.
Real.
Honestly, yeah. We should do a Judge Me episode on Patreon about that.
Yes, perfect.
And that's our first one. Maybe we should do video for it.
Yeah, we should.
That
would
be really funny.
I think we will do that. All right.
Oh yeah, coming soon. I can't wait. It's probably so fucking hokey.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's.
Can we all dress like aliens when we do it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. I want to get the Mars Attacks heads. They're like, meh, 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 and I'll just talk like that the whole time.
Perfect. Can't wait.
Okay.
Wow, Billy, right. This is a good, that was a good find.
That was a good one, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of other ones, too. How are we doing on time?
Sure, you can share a couple more.
I would like to share the one about Foo Fighters.
Okay.
Because a lot of people don't know what Foo Fighters are. You know, Foo Fighters, great band. Taylor Hawkins just passed away, RIP, one of the greatest drummers of all time.
Yep.
But in November of 1944, there were pilots flying over Western Europe. And they reported seeing these glowing objects that were following their planes. And they nicknamed them Kraut Fireballs, or Foo Fighters. And they were just glowing. They were red, they were white, they were orange. And they initially thought that these might have been secret German weapons. But further investigation revealed that the German pilots and the Japanese pilots also reported the same thing. So that is what Foo Fighters are. No idea what they are, but they are these fireballs that were following around World War II pilots, both on the Axis side and the Allies side in 1944 over Europe.
Mm.
Fascinating.
Very spooky.
Yeah, I feel spooked.
I feel spooked.
All right. Yeah.
Very much.
So, you know, an invasion attack would be one of the worst things that would happen to Earth. But we want to hear the worst things that you people have done.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Come one, come all. It's time to air out our sins. Time to confess. And we're going to make you feel better about it because we're all terrible. As Billy would say, we're all terrible people. So
I say that.
I mean, I can't believe Billy would call people, you know?
Truly sickening. All right. I'm going to just pick the first one. I don't know which one's the best, but here we go.
It's a surprise.
Hi, guys. So this is a submission for the worst thing that I've ever done. I would have to say it was when I was in high school. I was coming to terms with my sexuality. So anyway, I had a best friend that I ended up falling pretty hard for. Relatively new to this type of, I guess, setting in my life. Anyway, I know that my best friend had a crush on one of my cousins. You know, we've been best friends for years, so she's met them, of course, like at parties and stuff with the family. Anyway, not going to lie, I was a little jealous. So I created this version of my cousin, in a sense. So basically what happened was I created a account on like some texting little app thing, and I pretended to be my cousin for about 6 months. So we're texting back and forth, talking about things. And when I was there at school, she was all happy and, like, telling me that my cousin, like, hit her up and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's good. Like, hopefully things work out. All the while, knowing that wasn't going to happen, things kind of turned, I guess, serious between, quote-unquote, my cousin and her. Because the way that we would be texting back and forth, you know, we would be like, oh, like, I love you and all this stuff. So I was projecting all of like my true feelings for her through my cousin. And it kind of made me happy that she was responding that way. But at the same time, I still felt really guilty for kind of like playing her in a sense. And when things started getting too serious, where she's like, oh, like we need to like meet up. Like I didn't see at the party, yada, yada, yada. I decided to break up with her in a sense. She was devastated, of course. She wanted answers. She would talk to me about it at school, be like, why did he break up with me? Did I do something wrong? And I was just there to be like her shoulder to cry on. At the end of it all, we just got closer and like I was there for her in her time of need. And we ended up dating after high school for about 3 years. We don't talk anymore, but I could say that was probably the worst thing I've ever done.
Whoa.
Okay, I have so many mixed feelings because you got what you wanted. That's what's the craziest part. That's the craziest part. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just,
it's
your cousin.
You know what? If this was, I'm gonna step
speechless.
In as the guy.
Was your best friend even bi curious? Like, how did this? Like, was your cousin a male. You know, that's how I'm interpreting it. So I think I'm.
Well, I have a question: is did she know the cousin in real life?
She met the cousin before, but like, then never again when the texting relationship started.
Just an online relationship.
But they'd met in person before. That's how the friend knew that they liked the cousin. But like, you really played it and got exactly what you wanted. I don't even think you meant to. I think you did it at first, like, because you had unrequited love and you were struggling with your sexuality and you were like not confident enough to tell the truth. And I think that became a bigger lie and a bigger lie and a bigger lie. And obviously you're an adult now. It sounds like you know that that's an issue, how you went about this. But we do really strange things when we're young and insecure. So I'm trying to like
for sure
empathize with how it started. You know?
Yeah, but if this was a guy that did that.
Guys do this shit all the time.
And we were doing this first degree. We would have been like, guys, a sociopath, this or that. I mean, it would have been all on that.
Guys do this shit all the time.
And I mean, people do this shit all the time. Yeah. There's literally shows and podcasts. Did you guys ever listen to that Sweet Bobby podcast?
I just started it, actually.
Oh, I mean, it's like this is like the lightest version of what that podcast is about. That was like, but it was the same sort of, you're catfishing somebody that you kind of know, sort of a situation. I mean, this happens all the time, especially when you're younger. It's like kids are all, especially nowadays, I'm sure it's even worse, but.
When you're young, also the stakes are low. You're not like a single mom who's getting tricked. You know, it's like you were exploring your feelings and you know you were being decepted and you felt really guilty about it, which was the indicator for you. You knew you were doing something wrong. And that's how we know you're not a piece of shit.
No, I don't know. Not at all.
Of course.
And you must be a fantastic of enough person to have dated this person for 3 years afterwards. So.
Right. Despite, you
know,
I mean, it's.
Nobody needs to know how it started.
That's right.
She doesn't even need to know. She never did.
No, she fell in love with you organically.
Yeah. Mm. I love it.
After she was devastated over the.
Over a person she never met, Billy. Why don't you chill? Oh. Because it was like a text relationship. It's high school. Remember, it's high school.
Those can devastate you, you know?
Mm-hmm, they can.
When you're that young, everything devastates you.
They sure do.
All right.
I'm just saying. On to the next.
Hi, Billy, Alexis, and Jack. So I have a worsty firsty story for you all. I don't think I've told anybody but my sister, so here it goes. I was kind of a little social pothead in high school, and during breaks or whenever I got a bathroom break, I would sneak off to the bathroom and, you know, toke it up a little bit. So one day I had saw somebody's shoes walking into the bathroom, so I put everything away. Shortly after, I had a security guard start following me. I got really concerned, so I went to my locker, and then I got really concerned, and then I ran over to my gym locker, put my paraphernalia away, because you can't check and see whose locker's who when you go to the gym lockers. Anyways, I go back to class, and then I get pulled out of class and to the principal's office, and not really sure why exactly, even though I really do know why. Apparently, one of my classmates had told on me, saying who I was and under suspicion and security footage that I was a person making the smell in the bathroom. So I got interviewed by a couple people, and I refused, and I said, no, that wasn't me. No way, no how, and I stood by it. So they called my dad to come pick me up based on suspicion for smoking weed in the bathroom. My dad was so mad at me, didn't talk to me at all, but it gets even better. My mom asked me when she got home from work, hey, did you smoke weed in the bathroom? I told her, no, ma'am, absolutely not. She's like, all right, I'm ordering you a drug test. We're going to send it to the school as soon as you take it. So, therefore, I was suspended. My parents were both at work the next day. I drank 2 gallons of juice, chugged the pickle water in the pickle jar, and then I drank 2 gallons of water. And luckily, we had an elliptical in our garage. I was on the elliptical the entire day until my parents got home. And then my mom had a drug test for me that evening. I took the drug test and passed with flying colors. Have no idea how I did that, but yeah, that's my story. I did get suspended, and long story short, don't do drugs at school, and I don't even know if it's on my record or not. Don't really care, but that's my story. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Honestly, I'm so in awe of your abilities, because I would have been like, yes, it was me, and started crying right away. But you like had a plan. You're like, no, this is going to be fine. I will not forever ruin my parents' trust in me. Like, I've got this. You were kind of like diabolical in a good way. You're like, because who cares? It's smoking weed at school. Like, you're not a bad person. But you're like, I am doubling down on what I've said. I did not do this, and I'm going to make it biologically so in 24 hours. Somehow.
I mean, honestly, I will say, first of all, smoking weed at school is so ballsy.
Hardcore.
Oh, my God.
Hardcore ballsy.
I would be so scared.
No.
Like, no. Yeah. Who does that?
I never even had a sip of alcohol at school. Like, no. There was nothing like that.
But, well, they would expel you.
But weed is so smelly. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. In a closed bathroom.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah, that's why she got in trouble, because it stinks so bad.
It's potent. It's recognizable is what it is. Like, everybody knows when someone's smoking weed. There's no confusion about what that is.
I just love how she drank every liquid that she could find, including pickle juice. And I don't know if pickle juice has anything to do with overriding the weed in your system, but
sounds delicious, frankly.
Chugging pickle juice without a whiskey shot before it.
But I will say this. Pickle's my favorite snack. Stay tuned on our Etsy shop for the first degree pickle juice, clearing up your drug test.
Yes.
Novelty. We're gonna be selling
legal
it. Not
now.
Novelty. It's going to work.
Legal. It doesn't even matter.
Apparently,
not in every
state,
though.
You're still get in trouble if you smoke weed at school.
I think this is an amazing story. I think you should tell your parents. Let the truth be known.
Now you can tell them.
Yeah.
I love it.
Me too.
So great. All right. Stuff. Well, I think there's only one thing left.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And that is the time. And I'm doing something a little bit different today. I'm going to do a dramatic reading from season 6, episode 21, The Fusilli Jerry.
Okay. Mm.
Okay. And it's two different people. I'm going to play both.
Okay.
Nancy. Ow! George, what are you doing? George, you know, pleasuring you. Nancy, well, stop it. George, you don't like the move? Nancy, no, I don't. It feels like aliens poking at my body. That's a dramatic reading from Seinfeld, because I wanted it to be in keeping with our alien theme.
I did like that. I thought that was
good. That's when the move was stolen from Putty.
Yeah.
And then Jerry taught it to George.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elaine was upset because everyone was upset. Yes. And George didn't master it right. And then he wrote it on his hand and she dumped him when he tried again.
Yeah, but maybe Putty got it from aliens. We don't know.
Maybe.
You never know. Mm-hmm. Probably did.
That's right.
They know all. All right. Well,
bye.
Happy. Oh, go watch Alien and Alien Autopsy.
Yes. Yes. And then you'll see it on Patreon soon, friends.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.